Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad city, the broken night, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad days, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. I can't even believe this Hanta coronavirus. It is the craziest thing ever. So the numbers of cases in the U.S. has jumped by over 24 over the weekend, and there's been a couple of deaths from the outbreak. New cases of the virus were announced in Oregon, Rhode Island, Washington State, New York, and Florida, bringing the total to over 89. That was as of Monday morning, up from 65 on Friday night. It just keeps growing. New cases prompted emergency declarations in at least a couple of states, sparked new warnings. Schools in Seattle, Portland, Rhode Island all announced closures for cleanings this week after presumptive positive cases linked to either students or staffs. And at least 18 new cases were announced across the country, including first cases in Florida. The cases involve a Hillsborough County resident who tested positive and has a history of travel to Italy. The other was in Manatee County, also tested positive, no history of travel outside the U.S. Both Florida residents were in self-isolation. Yeah, good luck with that. And they'll remain isolated until they're cleared by health officials. Yeah, sure. This is the scenario that they're preparing for every day in public health, according to the Florida Surgeon General. The department is moving forward with appropriate plans. We're working directly with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and local medical providers to ensure that these individuals receive the proper treatment and that anyone who has come into contact with them is following the necessary protocols, limiting or stopping any further spread of the virus. The governor declared a public health emergency. An emergency proclamation also was issued in Washington State, where both U.S. deaths occurred because of the virus. The Washington governor declared a state of emergency after the first death was confirmed over the weekend in King County. The patient was a man in his 50s who had underlying health conditions. The second death was a man in his 70s who suffered from underlying health conditions and died over the weekend. The New York Times reported over the weekend that the virus may have been in Washington State for several weeks and that over 1,500 people may have been infected by the coronavirus. The second patient who died in Washington State was one of four new cases confirmed over the weekend among residents of a long-term nursing facility in Washington, where they've been investigating a possible outbreak of the virus. The patients were residents at this place, and they started getting sick there. More than 50 residents and staff from the faculty were experiencing symptoms. They're going to be tested for the virus. Gee, you think that's a good idea? Thank you. The facility has about 108 residents and 180 staff members. The investigation was sparked after two people linked to the facility, a resident and a healthcare worker, both tested positive for the virus. As of the end of the weekend, 13 people tested positive for the virus in Washington State, 10 of them in King County and 3 in another county. I mean, this is just crazy. Five new cases were announced in Northern California as of Sunday, three of them in Santa Clara County. One patient was a woman who had other health issues and was hospitalized. Two others were a husband and wife who recently traveled to Egypt. So now they have seven cases in Santa Clara County. Alameda County and Solano County each had one resident test positive for the virus. This is insane. More than 120 UC Davis healthcare staff were in self-quarantine after possibly being exposed to the patient admitted to the medical center last week. Oregon reported its second case on Sunday. New cases were also announced in Rhode Island. The first two in the state, a woman and a teenage girl, were both diagnosed with the virus. They had traveled to Europe on the same trip in mid-February. In New York, Governor Cuomo said Sunday night that a woman in her 30s had been identified with a positive case of coronavirus in the state. The first, the woman contracted it while traveling abroad in Iran. Thanks for coming back with it, honey. Nice idea there. The patient went to a hospital in Manhattan and remains isolated in her Manhattan home. Jesus, listen to this. Cuomo said there is no cause for surprise or concern. This was expected. As I said from the beginning, it is a matter of when, not if, there would be a positive case of coronavirus in New York. Oh, thanks a lot, Governor. I know you've been busy talking about the Islanders going back to Long Island and going to that event. Hope you wore your mask to the hockey event that you took credit for that you had nothing to do with. How about this guy? There's no reason to be concerned. Can you imagine? Now listen, this is becoming such an unbelievable story because now it's affecting sports all over the globe. In Japan, they've stopped playing baseball. They had some marathon that last year had 30,000 runners in it. This year they had like 200. Hey, honey, I'm going down to the marathon. I'm going to go run in the marathon down with all the runners that have the Hanta. I mean, it is unbelievable to me. I wouldn't want to go anywhere where there's lots of people, including a sporting event, an airport, a jet airplane. I don't want to be on that. I was on that coming back from Vegas with a lady coughing and sneezing all over me. I wanted to kill her. The bottom line is that I don't even want to be anywhere. At the grocery store, you got people sneezing and coughing on you. You go to the gym, you got people coughing and sneezing on you. It is out of control. You know they've canceled all these schools. They are telling people don't travel to Europe, don't travel to Italy. They're saying people that were in Egypt have it, Japan, China, Iran. First of all, who wants to go to Iran to begin with? Can you imagine being an American and going to Iran like you're going to be safe there? They hate our guts. Here's an idea. Don't go to Iran, even if you're not afraid of the coronavirus. You should be afraid of Iranians that don't want you there. They hate us dead, and that's all there is to it. But look, I see the Louvre, all this other stuff, the great museums in Italy, they're all closed. Did you see the Pope decided he was going to show up and bless everybody in the town square there in Rome? And then he opened up his window and everybody got all excited. The, I don't know, couple hundred people that were down there looking at him. Usually it's thousands and thousands, but instead nobody was there. And then he opened up the window and then did you see him? He had like a meltdown. He started sneezing and coughing all over himself. I mean, it was absolutely surreal. I'm watching this guy give a sermon and he was hacking and coughing and sneezing all over the place. You can't even make this stuff up. It was so perfect that this guy would be hacking right in the middle of all of it. Even the Pope looks like he's got it. I want nothing to do with Rome. I don't want anything to do with anywhere in Europe. There's a couple of things. I cannot even believe that I am hearing there are people that want the NCAA to force fans to be unable to go to the NCAA basketball tournament games. They would literally have the tournament and there would be no fans allowed to go to the games anywhere in any round. In the Final Four in Atlanta, can you imagine who in their right mind thinks that that's going to go over well, having a Final Four in Atlanta with no fans in the stands at the Mercedes? Are you kidding me? What, no media, no fans, no one's there but the players and the coaches? Saturday, two semifinal games, and then Monday night, a championship game, and nobody's going to be there in a stadium that holds 100,000 people? And it's going to be just flat out dark, empty. Can you imagine the failure of that tournament this year if they don't let fans go to the games? How about the first round games, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Those really are, I think, the most popular games of the year. I mean, those are the greatest games on earth. Is there anything better than Thursday and Friday of the NCAA first round when they open the tournament in the first 2 days? Now, you can have all that play-in game stuff you want. I could care less about the games in Dayton. Those are just a couple games to watch on TV. But Thursday when they open it up and the floodgates open and they start playing all those games, can you imagine nobody being there? Can you even fathom? No fans, no cheerleaders, no bands, just players playing. It'll look like a G League game in the NBA in Westchester when nobody's there. And even they'd have more fans. I know they're doing it in Japan. Their baseball pros are playing in front of empty stadiums. And now they're talking about the Tokyo Olympics. That's this summer. Can you imagine even wanting to go to Tokyo, Japan, to watch the Olympic Games, knowing that Asia has a massive coronavirus problem? I would no more go near that Olympics than fly a kite. I mean, honestly, can you even imagine flying, how long it takes to fly to Asia? It's like 12 to 16 hour flight, even longer to some places. And you're going to go over there and go to the Olympics for 2.5 weeks? And what? Wear a mask? Wear a hazmat suit to the games? Are you going to walk around in a hazmat suit at everything? And what, are you going to enjoy yourself at the Olympics having to do that? I mean, it's just going to ruin everything. I think the Olympics are going to get ruined by this. I think the NCAA tournament could possibly be ruined by this. People are starting to get real paranoid. People are cleaning out stores. Home Depot cleaned out. Did you see in Washington, there's literally lines at the Home Depot like a mile long. People trying to buy stuff, buying water, buying paper towels, buying cleaning stuff, buying water, everything. Food, stockpiling like the world's ending. And people are literally freaking out. The whole deal with the masks. Everybody bought all the masks. You can't even buy masks anywhere. And then they say on TV that the masks don't work. Why buy them if they don't work? They're going to ruin everything. If they do that to the NCAA tournament, you can just forget about the 2020 NCAA tournament. It'll be the worst basketball tournament on earth. How do you celebrate the greatest tournament in sports, which is what it is? And to have no fans there just ruins it. It's changing everything. I mean, look at the stock market. It's crashing. Everyone's lying to us. The media is scaring us. The NCAA is going to tell us we can't go to the games. You can't go to the Summer Olympics. Did you see Asia? They literally have the worst pollution in the world. I mean, LA knows all about pollution, but Asia's got pollution like 10 times more than us. And then when everybody left Asia because of the coronavirus, literally in less than 3 weeks, there is absolutely zero pollution over Asia. It all dissipated, completely gone. I am worried about the stock market, and I'm worried about NCAA basketball games. I'm worried about the Olympics. I'm worried about everything. Are you going to go to baseball games this summer? Are you going to go to a stadium with people hacking all over you, spitting all over you, coughing, sneezing all over you? Nobody's going to airports. It's going to hurt resorts in the Caribbean. I mean, it's just literally shutting the world down. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen, and it gets worse by the day. I mean, disease is rampant everywhere you go now. I'm freaking out, man. I mean, all I have to say is, look out.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So now, former heavyweight champ Deontay Wilder, the Bronze Bomber, has exercised his right to an immediate third fight with Tyson Fury. Bob Arum said over the weekend that the fight will take place July 18th at the same location, the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Sin City. And that's when they fought on February 22nd. I was there. Carver High was there. And we saw what happened. In the hype sequel, Fury, the lineal champion, destroyed Wilder, took his WBC belt, knocked him down twice in the third round with a right hand to the back of the head, and then a body shot left in the fifth to the ribs. That stopped him. And then in the seventh, his co-trainer Mark Breland threw in the towel as Fury was pounding the living hell out of Wilder. Wilder and Fury had previously fought to a draw in Lipstick City in Los Angeles in December of 2018. When they made the rematch, it was a two-fight deal with the loser having the right to an immediate third fight if he wanted it. Right after Wilder lost, he said he would definitely go ahead and pick up his option for a third fight, and now he has officially done that. Now we'll sit down and go through all the details of the fight, Arum said, adding that the task would fall largely to top-ranked president Todd DeBuff and Bruce Binkow of PBC. Before Wilder made it official, Arum said he was open to shifting the third fight to the fall if that is what Wilder and the PBC wanted. But on Sunday, this past weekend, he said that the fight would indeed be on July 18th and that it again would be a joint pay-per-view between ESPN and Fox. Arum said, "We realized that date was a favorite for both ESPN and Fox because it comes at a dead time in sports, which is good for the fight. It's after the basketball playoffs. Baseball is in the middle of the season. There's no football. It's the ideal time. The hotel, the Grand, also believes it to be an ideal time." Arum said that contractually the fight had to be in Vegas, New York, or L.A., but that Vegas made the most sense for that time of year. Arum said he was not surprised Wilder went through with picking up the option. He said, "I feared it would happen because I've had enough experience with rematches to know that anything can happen and guys change their strategy and want the opportunity to avenge the loss." Shelley Finkel, Wilder's co-manager, confirmed the decision to go forward with the third fight. He said, "We did exercise it. We want to fight Fury next and we want to make sure we sent the letter and that it was done." Wilder is 42-1-1 with 41 KOs, and he had 25 days from the end of the second fight to notify Top Rank and Fury of his decision. The February 22nd fight that I went to was a 50-50 deal, but with Fury having won, it flips to a 60-40 split in Fury's favor for the third fight. So now they're going to fight again. July 18th at the Grand Garden Arena, so let's have it. If that's what you want, you're going to get it. Here's what's going to happen. In my view, these things usually don't turn out well. I think it'd be smart of Wilder to actually think before he does this, which he obviously hasn't. His bell was rung in that fight in late February, and he got rocked in the back of the head, went down, had loosey-goosey legs from that point forward, bleeding from the ear. I thought he was concussed. I've never seen him look that way. I have said on a number of occasions on the air that I've seen him hurt before. I've seen him hobbled in the ring. I've seen him hit hard and stunned in the ring. But I'd never seen him go down and be that kind of hurt. He was really messed up. He took a pummeling. He took a beating. He got roughed up. He was just getting bombarded with shots. He had absolutely no clue where he was. Breland did the right thing. The more I watched the fight, the more I realized that if it would have kept going, he was going down again, and perhaps this time for good. You never know what could have happened. He was taking shots to the head that were mammoth. His eyes didn't look good. His face didn't look good. He was in big trouble. He literally just got stomped out. Fury was just in total control of that fight. He was 40 pounds heavier than him. All of Wilder's rhetoric about the suit being heavy going into the ring had nothing to do with it. That was the worst excuse I've ever heard. Then he blamed Breland. Then he blamed the ref. And just listening to him talk now is so pathetic. I can't even take it. I don't want to listen to anything he says. And what's he going to do to sell this third fight? Talk about how he's going to knock him out? I mean, he got his ass beat so bad, I almost think he has zero chance whatsoever in the third fight. It was like watching a senior in college fight a second grader. The 40 pounds made a difference. Fury manhandled him. It was like watching a giant bear take on a poodle. He just shoved him around, pushed him around, threw him around, owned him, had him in the corners, had him on the ropes, had him in the middle of the ring. Landed everything, too. He's a better boxer. I couldn't believe it. I thought Wilder would win the fight. He knocked him down in the 9th and 12th of the first round. I thought Fury was out cold. He got up, finished the fight, got a draw, and I just thought this time he's going down for good. And after what I saw, I was there. That fight was over. In the third round when he knocked him down, that fight was over. Now they're going to fight again, and Wilder is not going to have a warm-up fight. A tune-up fight, or at least a fight against somebody that is bigger, that's heavier, that's meaner, that he could get his confidence back, get his swag back. He's not going to do that. He's going to go right back at it. His next fight is that fight, July 18th, in the same place. I'll tell you, it's going to be the same movie. It's going to be the same ending. It could be worse. He might get killed this time. I mean, honest to God. What makes anyone think it's going to be any different? When a guy beats you that badly and roughs you up that badly and just literally toys with you, he was falling down. He fell down at least twice where Fury didn't even hit him. Fury was looking around the crowd saying, I didn't even hit him. And he's going down because he had hit him so hard in the back of the head. He was never the same, right? So what makes anyone think it's going to be any different? I mean, if I'm Fury, I'm laughing that this guy's going to fight me first. If he was fighting somebody else, maybe one or two fights, then fought Fury, I think Fury might have a reason to be somewhat cautious and worried. But fighting him immediately after getting that kind of a pummeling is just a stupid way to handle your business. Finkel and all of them are doing it because they think in the back of their minds that Wilder can knock out Fury. It's not happening. And they know that the money is going to be big. It's still 60-40 split. They're on the short end of the money either way. But this is crazy because this is going to really hurt Wilder's future because he'll have lost back-to-back to Fury. Many people believe he lost the first fight, too. He was down 10-2 in rounds, but since he knocked him down in the 9th and 12th, he kept his belt with a draw. But most people thought Fury beat his ass that night. Now, he gets beat again in late February, gets knocked out. They throw in the towel. He knocks him down twice. Towel goes in, calls the fight. Then he's mad at everybody, wants to fight him again. He's going to get his ass whooped again. And then all those English fans took over to MGM. They came in and drank their faces off, partied like rock stars, like the Rolling Stones, and just mocked Americans all day, all night after Fury beat Wilder's ass. Now they're going to come back and do it again. I mean, it's going to be like a bad movie. Seeing the whole thing again is going to be the same thing. I don't even know how ESPN and PBC and Fox are going to sell it. What, are they going to try to convince people that it's going to be different? It's going to be better a third time? What, are they going to try third time's a charm BS? Nobody's going to fall for that crap. I'm not, you're not, nobody is. I don't even know if I want to go to it, to be honest with you. I hope they beg me to go. I hope they spend a lot of money on my shows. I hope they spend a lot of money on Sports Grid. Because I don't see any reason to go, to be honest with you, right now, at this point, thinking about going to Vegas in July to watch Fury beat his ass again is just basically a long trip of 10 hours of flying and dealing with English drunks, spending a lot of money to watch the same movie, to see the same ending, to see the same start after midnight fight, to sit there all day and wait for it and then watch him come into the ring with all of that pomp and circumstance and BS and then watch Fury push him around and whoop his ass again and knock his ass out again? Why do it? I could think of better things I could do with my time in July, like maybe go on a summer vacation with my family. Hell, I might have more fun in Vegas with my family or somewhere else, Cali, SoCali Cal, surfing in La Jolla like I do, Huntington Beach, maybe the Caribbean, maybe Hawaii. I mean, there's all kinds of things to do. Maybe I could go over to Asia and get the coronavirus. Maybe people won't even go to Vegas by July because everyone will be dead already. We'll all have evaporated and been extracted from the earth because of the corona, the Hanta. Who knows if they'll even have the fight? Maybe they're just making false promises that there's going to be a fight. I've already said there might not be an Olympics. I mean, if no one's going to go to the Olympics, why have it? It's just going to be a colossal failure. All they're going to do is lose money. And then we talked about the NCAA tournament. If no fans go to that, why would fans go to some fight if it's even worse by July? Who's to say that virus will be gone by then? I know what won't be gone is Fury's boxing skills and his weight and his reach and his dominance of Wilder. I mean, he absolutely was inside his head and just owned him. He had a penthouse in his head. He had full autonomy to do whatever he wanted to him. Like, that's not going to happen again. You know it's going to happen again. I guess the best thing you do is go to Vegas and party and go gamble, go play free bet blackjack, go play craps, go hit Kraft Steakhouse again with Dale Hopkins, a pay-per-view, and sit there with all the celebrities and say hi to Dana White again and Triple H and Stephanie McMahon and Eric Shanks, the head of Fox. And nothing but rock stars and celebrities were at the fight. Everyone and their brother, actors, musicians, athletes. Maybe that's why you go, just to see all of that. Because I definitely didn't go to see a fight. There was a better fight in my row of seats when I was sitting there with Garber High and Gio from The Fan watching my girl Tracy get in a fight with some English fan trying to take pictures of Fury. That fight was better than the fight in the ring. So whatever, you can have your third fight between Wilder and Fury and stick it in your garage door. Shake it.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So I talked about this story on the air the other night on In-Game Live when it happened, when Hardball host Chris Matthews, 20 years on MSNBC, the political talk show host, shocked his viewers at home by quitting his job on TV live on his show. He just said, he's done. This is my last show. I'll see you later. Bye. I'm out of here. Now, that may have shocked a lot of people, but many critics saw it coming that he was going to get whacked because he's facing all kinds of sexual harassment claims by women Some of the women had talked about it. This chick from the USA Washington editor for Spectator said, "This is a long time coming. I'm sure many women who spoke with me, either on background or off the record, about their experiences with Chris Matthews feel vindicated right now." She had covered sexual harassment claims against Matthews as a reporter for the Daily Caller back in 2017. She talked about it, and then following an exchange with Senator Elizabeth Warren last week, journalist Laura Bassett wrote an op-ed claiming that Matthews used sexist language when she visited the studios of his TV show to appear on his show as a guest. She said Matthews looked at her in an adjacent makeup chair before an appearance in 2016 and asking, quote, "Why haven't I fallen in love with you yet?" End quote. Bassett said she laughed about it, but Matthews kept rolling and made comments to the makeup artist saying, quote, "Keep putting makeup on her, I'll fall in love with her," end quote. I mean, this stuff, you can't even make it up. She said he made another comment about her makeup during a separate appearance, quote, "Make sure you wipe this off her face after the show." He said to the makeup artist, quote, "We don't make her up so some guy at a bar can look at her like this." Bassett said she decided to write the op-ed because of the sexist interview Matthews did with Warren after the last debate in which she pressed her about her accusation that former New York Mayor Mike Bloomberg has once told a woman at his company to, quote, "kill her unborn baby." Oh my God, Bloomberg denies all of it. He says he doesn't remember anything. Bassett wrote, "All I got to say is it's about time." Reacting to the news of Matthews' resignation, "No, I have more to say than that. Since calling out Chris Matthews this week has been really rough. The harassment has been invasive, cruel, and personal, and it's all worth it if he'll never have the platform to demean and objectify women again." Last month, Matthews was heavily criticized for comparing Senator Bernie Sanders' victory in Nevada at the caucus to the Nazi conquest of France in 1940. He later apologized for that. Matthews also suffered from an embarrassing gaffe over the weekend, confusing Senator Tim Scott, a Republican from South Carolina, with Democratic senatorial candidate Jamie Harrison. Washington Examiner writer Tiana Lowe wrote that corporate giants, especially supposedly liberal ones like MSNBC, ought to care about ethical workplace environments regardless of the talent that might be expunged as a result. But even more important for women everywhere, caring about issues like sexual harassment and assault cannot begin only when political or personal interests are at stake. Matthews is either the target of a witch hunt, which the available evidence doesn't seem to corroborate, or he's only facing the music because an executive found it politically expedient to finally care about sexual harassment. Both possibilities are reprehensible, and those in the hardball orbit ought to clarify. So he started, Matthews, his show by saying, quote, "This is like first segment of the show. Let me start with my headline tonight. I'm retiring. This is the last hardball on MSNBC. He announced it right then and there. And obviously this isn't for the lack of interest in politics. As you can tell, I loved every minute of my 20 years as host Harbaugh. Every morning I read the papers and I am gung-ho to get to work. Not many people have had this privilege. I love working with my producers and our discussions we'd have on how we report the news. And I love hearing and having this connection with you, the people who watch. After conversations with NBC, I decided tonight will be my last hardball. So let me tell you why. The younger generations out there are ready to take the reins. We'll see them in politics, in the media, and fighting for their causes." He did reference the renewed sexual harassment claims against him by pathetically saying, quote, "Compliments on a woman's appearance that some men, including me, might have once incorrectly thought were okay, were not okay, not then and certainly not today. And for making such comments in the past, I'm sorry." He went on to say that he was very proud of the work he had done on the show and that he will continue to write and talk about politics. He said, "And for those of you who have gotten into the habit of watching Hardball every night, I hope you're going to miss me because I'm going to miss you." He concluded, "But remember Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca. We'll always have Hardball, so let's not say goodbye, but until we meet again," end quote. That's a nice way of saying he'll be writing a book soon, or perhaps getting another TV gig. Someone else might put him on the air because he's great at what he does that will challenge the charges against him, challenge the reporting by the women against him, and not buy their reporting and believe that they can make money with him because he is a talented, controversial political talk show host that's been on the air for 2 decades, and they will want to make money with him, or they will be scared to death and will not air him ever again, and he'll go off and write books, which is what most of them do. He can't be on TV anymore, so why not write a book? Why not write another book? Why not write 3 books? It's no different than the Fury Wilder trilogy. Have a fight. Have a draw. Have another fight. Have Fury kick Wilder's ass. Instead of it going away, why not have a third fight, a trilogy, in the summer so everyone can get ripped off again? They got ripped off for $80 for the last fight, which Fury kicked his ass, knocked him out in the third, then in the fifth, then they threw in the towel in the seventh. You did not get your money's worth, and now they're going to do it to you again, and you will not get your money's worth again. So we see how this goes. Guy gets fired. Guy writes book. Guy keeps making money writing books. How pathetic is this? And then again, be careful what you say. Don't be nice to anybody. Don't be nice to women. Don't be nice to men. Don't shake anyone's hand. You'll get a disease and die. And if you compliment someone or tell someone they look fantastic, you might get fired from your job. And certainly don't talk politics with anyone, because that could cost you your job. Like my boy Flava Flav. My boy Chuck D, who's been on the bench from Public Enemy, apparently has fired Flava Flav. And they say, according to Rolling Stone, that it's not because of his political views. Flava Flav has been on suspension since 2016 when he was MIA from the Harry Belafonte benefit in Atlanta, Georgia. This was according to Chuck D, DJ Lord, Jai, James Bond, and Pop Diesel. Quote, that was the last straw for the group. He had previously missed numerous live gigs from Glastonbury to Canada, album recording sessions and photo shoots. He always chose to party over work. Public Enemy radio toured Europe and co-headlined with the Wu-Tang Clan in May 2019 without Flav. And they also have done numerous benefit shows without Flav. While Public Enemy Radio was moving forward, Flava Flav was starring on his own reality show, Growing Up Hip Hop New York, where an episode featured his children discussing an intervention and putting him into rehab. It's time to move on, and everyone wishes Flava Flav well. Public Enemy announced that they were moving forward without Flava Flav, firing one of hip hop's most memorable hype men after 35 years. The abrupt dismissal comes days after the rapper sent a cease and desist letter to Bernie Sanders over Chuck D's concert at a campaign rally in Los Angeles over the past weekend. The cease and desist letter sent to Sanders Friday by Flava Flav's lawyer accused the campaign of using the hype man's unauthorized likeness, image, and trademark clock to promote the rally in L.A., even though Flava Flav has not endorsed any political candidate. While Chuck D is certainly free to express his political views as he sees fit, his voice alone does not speak for Public Enemy, the letter read. The planned performance only is going to be Chuck D of Public Enemy, and it'll not be a performance by Public Enemy. Those who truly know what Public Enemy stands for know what time it is. There is no Public Enemy without Flava Flav. Flav has not endorsed any political candidate in this election. The continued publicizing of his grossly misleading narrative is at a minimum careless and irresponsible, if not intentionally misleading. It's unfortunate that a political campaign would be so careless with the artistic integrity of such a figure in American culture. Of course, Flava Flav wrote to Sanders in a note at the bottom, quote, hey Bernie, don't do this, end quote. A lawyer for Chuck D added, quote, from a legal standpoint, Chuck could perform as Public Enemy if he ever wanted to. He's the sole owner of the Public Enemy trademark. He originally drew the logo himself in the mid-80s. He's also the creative visionary and the group's primary songwriter, having written Flav's most memorable lines for him. Chuck D did an interview over the weekend, said, my last straw was long ago. It's not about Bernie with Flav. He don't know the difference between Barry Sanders or Bernie Sanders. He don't know either. Flav refused to support Harry Belafonte when he inducted us. He don't do that. Focus on issues of injustice and disproportionately affecting the disenfranchised, the oppressed, and the underserved, which left unaddressed will continue to impact the lives of too many individuals and remain a scar on our nation's moral character. Chuck said, if there was a bag of money, Flav would have been there front and center. He will not do free benefit shows. I built Public Enemy Radio, so it does benefits and fundraisers. He said he's never going to do them. So his refusal to do Harry Belafonte's in Atlanta was my last time. I built Public Enemy Radio to get far away from that ridiculousness. What a shame that it has to end this way, with Flav being a mess allegedly and Chuck D being done with it. He's just not having it. He's not going to put up with it. He's not going to tolerate it. Can you imagine Public Enemy without Flav of Flav? But Chuck is above all of this. Plus, your boy Chuck loves coming on the bench, and Chuck loves sports. He loves to go to games. He loves action. He has been to the studio to do my show. You gotta love it. Chuck, always in the middle of politics, race, you name it, religion, music, whatever, but he still loves sports, and he's always been chill with Pharrell. I was never friends with Flava Flav, and I don't care about Flava Flav, and I really don't care that Chuck D got rid of Flava Flav. Chuck D is the man. Flava Flav needs to get his shack in order. I will say this about Chuck D, though. I am a little freaked out that he's so into Bernie Sanders. I don't know what the deal is with that dude. He's kind of creeping me out a little bit. I don't know if I could ever vote for that dude. I don't know about his politics or everything else or Medicaid for everybody. And he hates the billionaire Bloomberg because he's trying to buy the election. Meanwhile, Bernie has more money than the rest of the Democrats himself. He's kind of two-faced with all of that nonsense. And you're telling me that he's got Chuck D in his pocket? I have seen it all.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
So I read that a new study published found that changing your regular sleep wake time by 90 minutes in either direction increases your chance of having a heart attack or heart disease. This is awful news. I mean, what is the deal? You can't sleep differently from one night to the next without having a heart attack? A regular sleep time was defined in the study as less than 30 minutes difference on average across 7 nights. Compared with people who had the most regular sleep time, those with the most irregular sleep time, more than a 90-minute difference on average across 7 nights, had more than a 2-fold increase risk of cardiovascular disease over a 5-year period. This was done at Harvard in their medical school. So what do they get wrong besides nothing? At Harvard, they are very smart. When they do studies, they are correct. So you are doomed if you don't sleep right. The link remains strong even after controlling for cholesterol, blood pressure, and other known cardiovascular risk factors, as well as sleep issues such as insomnia, sleep apnea, and sleep duration. I've always heard about these people with sleep apnea that sleep with all these tubes all over their mouths and faces, big giant hoses and machines next to their bed. I've always heard my friends who are overweight telling me that they have sleep apnea, which is, I've always thought in Portuguese, meant that they snore ass. Most of the people I know snore, and most of my fat friends snore even more than my skinny friends. But everyone I know snores. Everyone. Women snore, kids snore, I snore, you snore. Everyone snores when they're sleeping. I think it has something to do with your head being cranked back on a pillow wrong, or maybe having your tongue flopping around in the back of your throat near your ovula. I can snore ass. Sometimes when I'm in the middle of the night sleeping, I'll snore so loud it'll wake myself up. It's like a scary snore. I'll be like, and wake myself up. It's evil and unholy. This guy, he's a doctor, said that it's a huge problem. He directs the Division of Cardiovascular Sciences at the U.S. National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. He said, Dr. Goff, 1 out of 3 people in the U.S. die from heart disease, and 60% of us will have a major cardiovascular disease event before we die. He was not involved in the study. He said people are living busy, stressful lives and not getting a lot of sleep during the week. Then they are trying to get catch-up sleep on the weekend, and it's just not a healthy pattern. What scares me there is really saying that one out of three people in the U.S. are going to die from heart disease, and that 60% of us are going to have a major heart disease event before we die. So you either get heart disease or a heart attack, one out of three people, or 60% of you will somehow get a heart disease event before you die. So what's the difference? You're either going to get a heart attack and die, or you're going to get a heart disease and die. Sounds like you have no chance at all in living ever. We're either going to die of the heart attack, the heart disease, or the Hanta, or the Corona, or road rage, or eating greasy fast food, which is lard ass. The cardiovascular system, including heart rate, blood pressure, and vascular tone, operates on a strong circadian rhythm to maintain normal functioning. Messing with our internal sleep clock has been linked to risk factors like hypertension, insulin resistance, or diabetes. But this is the first study to link an irregular sleep pattern with a cardiovascular disease. The study found that more than 2,000 people between the ages of 45 and 84 without any heart disease over a five-year period, after a baseline exam, follow-up physicals measured any lifestyle, medication, or disease changes, while a sleep study tested for sleep disorders like apnea. Then they wore a sleep wrist tracker for seven straight nights. A quarter of the people in the age range didn't have a regular time for going to sleep. Since many of the participants were retired, it was surprising to find that some 500 people had significantly disrupted sleep schedules. Sounds to me like they were just old people that were having problems sleeping. So they did a test with old people and then scared everybody else. While it may appear this link is strongest for old people, they say it's not the case. A previous analysis of 53 studies of people 18 and up, or even 18 and younger, they were found to be more consistently associated with variable sleep cycles. This sleep irregularity may be even more common among younger people, they say. Younger people may have more demands from study and from work, and those may also influence whether they can have a regular sleep pattern or not. If that becomes a habit in life, the results could be dangerous, they say. That's because the study also found a linear upward link between disrupted sleep cycles and heart issues. The more you sleep irregularly, the higher the risk you have. We are doomed. The good news, though, is that you can do something about it, they say. Get moving. Exercise is key to promoting good sleep. If you work out for 10 minutes a day, walking, biking, or other aerobic exercises can drastically improve nighttime sleep quality. That has got to be a load of shack. That is BS. You're telling me that if you work out for 10 minutes, you could save your life and sleep better? Who works out for 10 minutes and gets anything out of it? If you work out for 10 minutes, you are not in shape. You are a phony. Who goes to the gym for 10 minutes and then takes a shower and leaves? Besides, no one. I work out every day for at least 90 minutes. What is 10 minutes? That's my first 10-minute warm-up. That's like stretching. That's like picking up the basketball, dribbling, and taking a couple of shots. I mean, that's like walking around, leaving the locker room and going into the gym, or going upstairs to lift, or going to the pool and just getting in and swimming one lap. Is that like a workout? No, it is not. There is no way 10 minutes makes you sleep better. I will never believe that. You are a liar. Strive for cooler temperatures. Make sure your bed and pillows are comfortable and the room is cold. Between 60 and 67 degrees is best. They say don't watch TV or work in your bedroom. You want your brain to think of the room as only for sleep. So what? I'm trying to fool my brain into believing that my room is only for sleep? How about my room should be for sessions with 34C and sleep? I want to have relations with 34C in my bedroom. I don't want to just sleep in cold rooms. I want to get action. Therefore, you have to work in the bedroom. You've got to work an angle to get leg, and then you pass out. How about that for good sleep? Have a session, sleep better. I do not believe that just because it's cool, you will sleep better, or if you don't watch TV. How about this? 34C sleeps with the TV on all night long. Even when she's sleeping, the TV is going. Now, I, on the other hand, can sleep in a room with no TV on. So what I do is, I used to work so late at night that I come home and I sleep in my own room. I have another room I sleep in. I'm not going to go jump in bed with someone that has a TV blaring that's already been sleeping for 2 or 3 hours that's been snoring their ass off. So I go sleep in the dark with no TV on, but I do watch TV before I go to bed. And it's nobody's business if I do it, because I'm not going to die just because I watch TV before I go to bed in the dark. But I do sleep in a room that's cool with a fan blowing, but it's not like I check the temperature. I have the fan going, I watch TV, I watch sports highlights, and then I turn the TV off and go to bed. I go to bed because I am tired, not because I'm not trying to have a heart attack. It says here to avoid certain foods and drinks. Avoid stimulants such as nicotine or coffee after mid-afternoon, especially if you have insomnia. Alcohol is a no-no. You may think it helps you doze off, but you are more likely to wake in the night as your body begins to process the alcohol. So I drink coffee all day. I even drink it at night, and I'm still able to sleep. Because I've drank coffee for so long, it doesn't fool me into thinking that I have to stay awake all night because I've had coffee. I have coffee because I like it and because it feels good, hot coffee on my throat. I have the greatest voice ever, so why not give it coffee, which is what it wants? And I can still sleep on it. I don't care. I can go to dinner and have 5 double espressos and still go home, have a session with 34C, and go to bed and sleep. Not a problem. It says here, develop a routine, taking a warm bath or shower, reading a book, listening to soothing music, meditating, or doing light stretches are all good options. Honest to God, I don't read books in bed, ever. I don't even barely read a book to begin with, or on a flight. I read a book on a flight once. I almost keeled over because I read a book. Because I never read books. I read sports pages in the newspaper. I'm surprised they even have newspapers anymore. Who takes a bath before they go to bed? Who takes a shower before they go to bed unless they reek ass? No one. Listening to soothing music, my ass. Have you ever had the trickling waterfall where they have that machine that makes light, soothing, trickling waterfall noises or ocean waves crashing on the shore? That kind of machine? Those are good for 1 or 2 nights, and then you want to throw it out a window because you can't do that every night of your life. Listen to that. You can do it when you're on vacation, when you can actually hear the waves crashing, but the fake music box pisses me off. I don't meditate ever. Meditation sucks. I've done yoga. It sucks too. I go to hot yoga to look at hot chicks soaking wet. That's why I go to yoga, not to meditate or to stretch. Do light stretches before you go to bed. My ass. No one stretches before they go to bed. Unless they're, for some reason, injured, you might stretch because you're in agony. But normal stretching before bed? No way. I stretch when I get out of bed, though, because my feet are crippled. Once I can feel them, then I can get up and walk. Until then, it's not safe to walk. It says here, be good to your circadian rhythm. Like your mom always told you, you should have a regular bedtime and a regular time for getting up in the morning. Tell your mother to mind her own business. And 34C does not tell my kids when to go to bed because they don't listen to her. So that will not work. And you can stick that circadian rhythm in your ear. It says here to keep yourself in the dark. Be sure to eliminate all bright lights, as even the blue light of cell phones or laptops can be disruptive. If that's hard to accomplish, think about using eye shades and blackout curtains to keep the room dark. Please spare me that. I can sleep with it bright outside. I can sleep when the windows are open. I can sleep when they're closed. I can sleep in a plane. I can sleep in a car. I can sleep at work. I can sleep on the sofa. I can sleep when the wind blows. I used to get home at 3:30 in the morning and get up at 8. I'd go to bed at 4, get up at 8, sleep 4 hours. Then I'd take a 2-hour nap during the day. There is broken sleep for you. I'm supposed to have heart disease and heart attacks and die because I break up my sleep. Well, now that I work at Sports Grid, I go to bed at 12:30, 1 at the latest, and I get up at 7 at the latest, and then I take Gunner to school, then I go to the gym and work out. I think the key to not having heart disease or heart attacks is working out, playing basketball, lifting, running, sweating, cardio, swimming. Doing all of that helps you stay healthy. I truly believe that. Maybe that's the key to sleep. Work out enough all day, you'll be tired at night, you'll go to bed. Or work out, work all day, go home, try to get some from your chick, then you're tired and pass out anyway and sleep. Try to get 6 hours, 7 hours of sleep and you're good to go. These things help me sleep, and I hope they help you sleep too. Shake it up.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.